I've had enough of this world and its pleasures. I will arise and go forth to the house of my Yah. I will arise and go forth to the house of my Father. I will arise and go forth to the house of my Yah. House of my Yah.
Shalom, and welcome to today's teaching on the Hebraic roots of Christianity, where we study first century Christianity and the faith that Jesus, whose Hebrew name is Yeshua, which means salvation, taught his disciples. And now, Hebraic roots teacher Eddie Chumney of Hebraic Heritage Ministries International.
Shalom, I'm Eddie Chumney of Hebraic Heritage Ministries, and we welcome you to today's teaching on the subject, The Principles of the Greater Exodus. This is part 21 of the series.
This has been a very detailed study to understand the Greater Exodus because this is such an important subject in the Bible, especially for those who are longing and waiting and looking forward to the second coming of the Messiah. So Yeshua, at his first coming, we are told by Yeshua himself in John chapter 10, when he was answering a question of the Pharisees at the end of John in chapter 9 in verse 40, where they ask him, are we blind? And so he responds to them in essence, decoding, I am the Messiah, the one that will gather and unite the 12 tribes of Israel. So he says in John chapter 10, verse 11 and verse 14, I am the good shepherd. So when he's saying that he is the good shepherd, he's referring to the function and the task of the good shepherd in the scriptures. And one of the places that we see the good shepherd performing his duties is in Ezekiel chapter 34. In verses 1 through 10, we see a condemnation of the shepherds of Israel because through their teachings, they're leaving the sheep scattered. And as a result, the God of Israel himself says in Ezekiel 34, verse 11, for thus says the Lord God, behold, I, even I, will both search my sheep and seek them out. As a shepherd seeks out his flock in the day that he is among his sheep that are scattered, so will I seek out my sheep and deliver them out of all the places where they've been scattered in the cloudy and dark day. Verse 13, I will bring them out from the people and gather them from the countries, and I will bring them to their own land, and I will feed them upon the mountains of Israel. And so the mountains of Israel is Judea and Samaria. It's what the world calls today the West Bank that extends and includes Jerusalem because Jerusalem is surrounded by mountains. And so understanding the principles of the greater Exodus is critically important because it's the Messiah's role to gather and unite the 12 tribes of Israel. We can see this as well in Jeremiah in chapter 23. And in Jeremiah chapter 23, verse 3, it says, I will gather the remnant of my flock out of all the countries where I have driven them, and I will bring them again to their folds, and they will be fruitful and increase. So the subject here is the gathering of the exiles of Israel. Regarding that, it says in Jeremiah 23, verses 5 and 6, behold, the days come, says the Lord, that I will raise unto David a righteous branch. A king will reign and prosper and will execute judgment and justice in the earth. And so this is a prophecy of the Messiah. And then in verse 6, in his days, in the days of the Messiah, Judah will be saved and Israel will dwell safely. Dwell safely from whom? Those who took him into captivity. And so in the days of the Messiah, Judah will be saved and Israel will dwell safely. And so the Messiah is going to end the exile of his people. And this is the name that he's called. The Lord is our righteousness. And then regarding the function of the Messiah to gather his people from the nations, it says in Jeremiah 23, verses 7 and 8, "Behold, the days come, says the Lord, that they shall no more say, the Lord lives that brought up the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt, but the Lord lives which brought up and which led the seed of the house of Israel out of the north country and from all countries where I have driven them, and they shall dwell in their own land." And so this is why we call it the greater Exodus, because it says it will no longer be said, the Lord lives that brought the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt. Well, that is said every year. When? At Passover. Passover is the celebration of the God of Israel delivering his people out of Egypt. But it says it will no longer be said he led them out of Egypt, but from all the nations where they have been scattered. And so in celebrating of Passover in Messiah's kingdom, it's going to be the celebration of him gathering his people from all the nations of the world where they've been scattered. And so this is why we call it the greater Exodus, that the Exodus from the nations of the world will exceed the Exodus whereby which his people came out of Egypt. And they came out of Egypt with signs and wonders, but the signs and wonders by which he brings his people from the nations of the world they've been scattered will even far exceed the miracles that was performed when he brought his people out of Egypt. And so one of the miracles when they were brought out of Egypt is that they crossed the Red Sea and the Red Sea parted. Well, we are told in Isaiah in chapter 11, Isaiah in chapter 11, verses 15 and 16. And this is in the context of the ending of the exile in the nations of the world, which is spoken of in Isaiah 11, 11 and 12. "And it shall come to pass in that day, the day of the Lord, that the Lord will set his hand again the second time to recover the remnant of his people, which shall be left from Assyria, from Egypt, from Pathros, etc. And he shall set up a banner or a sign for the nations, and shall assemble the outcasts of Israel and gather together the dispersed of Judah from the four corners of the earth." So this is describing ending the exile from all the nations of the world where his people has been scattered. And then it goes on to say in verses 15 and 16, "And the Lord will utterly destroy the tongue of the Egyptian sea, and with his mighty wind shall he shake his hand over the river, and he will smite it into seven streams and make men to go over in shoes. And there will be a highway for the remnant of his people, which shall be left from Assyria, like as it was to Israel in the day that he came up out of the land of Egypt." So in this teaching, we've been looking at principles and patterns of the greater Exodus. And a major principle or pattern is that what happens in the lives of the patriarchs are prophetic of what will happen to their descendants, that biblical history is prophecy, and that the details and the things that happened when the children of Israel were redeemed out of Egypt is going to be patterned and a parallel of when the Messiah gathers and unites his people from the nations of the world where they've been scattered and bring them back to the land of Israel. So we can see this in Micah in chapter 7 and verse 15. "According to the days of your coming out of the land of Egypt, will I show unto him marvelous things." According to those days, will I show unto him marvelous things. In other words, what's to come is patterned after what was. And then if we look at Hosea in chapter 2 and verse 15. "I will give her her vineyards from there in the valley of Achor for a door of hope." Now, there's a literal place in the land of Israel called the valley of Achor. But Achor in Hebrew means trouble or troubling. That the valley of Achor, the valley of trouble, which is in a reference to the tribulation and the great tribulation period, that the valley of Achor is a door of hope, because she shall sing there as in the days of her youth, as in the day when she came up out of the land of Egypt. She will sing like she did sing when she come up out of Egypt. And so the redemption is likened to a song, and the redemption itself is the promised hope of Israel that was initially communicated to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, that was also spoken at Mount Sinai. 9. So in John chapter 9 and verse 40, we see that the Pharisees ask Yeshua, are they blind? And in the first part of John chapter 10, he's answering the question. And in answering the question, he says in John chapter 10, verse 11 and verse 14, that I am the good shepherd. And the role of the good shepherd from the scriptures we just looked at is to gather and unite the 12 tribes of Israel. And so he's speaking to the Pharisees, who are Jews, who are of the house of Judah, who are of the southern kingdom. And he says to them in verses 16 and 17, other sheep I have. He does not say other sheep I will have after I die on the tree, and then they believe that I am the Messiah. No, before he dies on the tree, he claims that he has two sheepfolds. Other sheep I have. I have is past, present. And the other sheepfold is not this fold. So he called the people that he were talking to, that is the Pharisees, a part of his fold. Now, how can the Pharisees, who don't even believe he's the Messiah, how can Yeshua say that they're a part of his fold? That's because Yeshua gave the Torah at Mount Sinai. Yeshua entered into covenant with his people there, the house of Jacob, which consisted of the literal physical descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, who came out of Egypt, and also the mixed multitude, the non-literal physical descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, who came out of Egypt. That the God of Israel is not a respecter of persons, and his family, the house of Jacob, consists of the natural born and the strangers, the sojourners, those who are grafted in. This is who consists of the house of Jacob and the family of Yeshua. Even that says in Luke 1 verse 33 that Yeshua will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. And so Yeshua now is telling the Pharisees that he has two sheepfolds, and one of the sheepfolds is them. Now, regarding the other sheepfold, he says, them I must bring. He's referring to the northern kingdom, who was cut off from the covenant in Hosea chapter 1, when they were given the judgment of no mercy and not my people. But in Hosea 1, they were promised to be restored to the covenant, where it says in Hosea chapter 1, verse 10, yet shall the number of the children of Israel be as the sand of the sea, which cannot be measured nor numbered. And it will come to pass in the place where it was said, you are not my people, not my people, cut off from the covenant. It will be said, you are the sons of the living God. They are now restored to the covenant. Them I must bring, and they will hear my voice. Hearing his voice means to follow the good shepherd. Well, one of the ways you follow the good shepherd is in recognizing that he's the Messiah. The other way in which you follow the good shepherd is that you realize he gave the Torah. And as he said in John chapter 14, verse 15, if you love me, keep my commandments. And so you follow the good shepherd and hear his voice by not only calling on his name to forgive you of your sins and to save you, that he's your Messiah and you make him Lord of your life, but also you follow his Torah and you keep his commandments. And then he goes on to say that there will be one fold in one shepherd. So Yeshua said there are two sheepfolds. They're separated from each other at the time that he's speaking to the Pharisees, and he is going to restore the other sheepfold, and they'll hear his voice. And once the restoration comes, there'll be one fold and one shepherd. That's the gathering, uniting of the 12 tribes of Israel. And then Yeshua said in verse 17, therefore, because there'll be two sheepfolds that'll become one, that he, the good shepherd, is going to be over them. Therefore, because this is going to happen, first step in the process, he's going to have to die. Therefore, does my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I might take it again. Yeshua is stating that he's dying on the tree for the ultimate purpose of gathering and uniting the 12 tribes of Israel. And so this is repeated in John chapter 11, verses 49 through 52, where in verse 49 it says, and one of them, named Caiaphas, being the high priest that same year, said unto them, you know nothing at all, nor consider that it is expedient for us that one man should die for the people, and that the whole nation perish not. In this spake he not of himself, being high priest that year. He prophesied that Yeshua would die for that nation. Caiaphas is prophesying that he would die for that nation. What nation is Caiaphas prophesying that Yeshua would die for? The house of Judah, the southern kingdom, the Jewish people. But then it says in verse 52, and not for that nation only. So what nation is that referring to? It's referring to the northern kingdom. And so how do we know that these two nations are northern kingdom and southern kingdom? Because it describes them in John chapter 11, verse 52, that he should gather together in one the children of God scattered abroad. And so these two nations are defined as being the children of God scattered abroad who are to become one. So we see that Yeshua himself stated that he's dying on the tree to gather and unite the 12 tribes of Israel in John chapter 10, verses 16 and 17. And this is prophetically repeated by Caiaphas in John chapter 11, verses 49 through 52. And so Yeshua is going to complete the redemption of his people at his second coming. At his first coming, he died at Passover. And in shedding his blood, he made it possible to bring the northern kingdom back into fellowship with him, and at the same time offering salvation to the entire world. Anybody in the world who wants to be redeemed and saved by the Messiah, who will agree to the terms of the salvation. That is, repent of your sins and accept Yeshua as your Savior and Lord. This is why and how we get and understand the verse of John chapter 3, verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever would believeth in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. And so that which Yeshua is doing through the shedding of his blood at his first coming to forgive the sins of his people for breaking the covenant at Mount Sinai and to be reconciled to him if they will repent of their sins, if they will accept him as their Messiah, doing the work of redemption. But ultimately, to complete the work of redemption, he's going to redeem his people from the nations of the world where they've been scattered. And so this is the work of the Messiah at his second coming. And so this is why this teaching on the principles of the greater Exodus is so important, is because the bride of Messiah at his second coming must make herself ready. And the way in which she makes herself ready is through the ministry of Elijah, who prepares the way of the Lord. And the ministry of Elijah is pointing out to those who believe in the God of Israel that they've been worshiping him through a mixed worship system, showing how mixed worship is in the worship of the God of Israel, and then calling the people of the God of Israel to follow the Torah of the God of Israel, the Torah of the Messiah, and to prepare them for his return for his bride so he can marry her. In the gathering uniting of the 12 tribes of Israel is likened to a marriage and the joy of a marriage. And so we've been in great detail showing you the principles and the patterns associated with Yeshua's work to gather and unite the 12 tribes of Israel in the end of days. And then we shared with you events in the world that's associated with this happening. And there's three major signs. And that is, number one, that the nations would divide the land of Israel and the city of Jerusalem through the creation and recognition of a Palestinian state with East Jerusalem as its capital. That the Bible says that this event is associated with the end of days and termed in the Bible with the phrase, the day of the Lord. That would bring about the judgment of the nations and the fall of Babylon and the Babylonian system. And while the nations are being judged, Babylon has fallen. Simultaneously, he's going to be gathering his people from the nations of the world where they've been scattered and bring them back to the land of Israel. So that's your first sign. Your second sign of the greater Exodus is Isaiah 66, verses 8 and 9, where a nation is born in one day, and there that nation is defined as being Zion. And Zion is being born in one day during a time of travail. And so the tribulation period is called Jacob's trouble. It's a time that's associated with birth pangs and likened unto a woman that gives birth to a child. And so biblical Zion is born in one day. And so there's details regarding this in Revelation chapter 12, that the woman with a crown on her head, which represents her authority to rule and rain, and she not only has a crown, but 12 stars. The 12 stars represents the 12 tribes of Israel united. And so Revelation 12 is a sign that Israel is going to be redeemed and the 12 tribes are going to be united. And it gives you a detail by which this comes about, and that as soon as the woman gives birth to who? Gives birth to Zion. Gives birth to who? The Messiah. Because the revelation of Messiah comes and is associated with Zion. That's because the Messiah rules and reigns in Zion. He roars out of Zion, and he's declared king of his people and king of the world through his work in Zion. And so biblical Zion is born, and then the Messiah gets revealed through the birth of Zion. And Zion is the unity or the oneness of the covenant that was made with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Those believing that covenant, his people, the house of Jacob, who are standing for and with the covenant that was made with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, following the Torah of the Messiah, doing so as he instructed by his Spirit, and they proclaim the Messiah Yeshua as their head, as is prophesied, that when the children of Judah and the children of Israel are gathered together, they will appoint themselves one head. Hosea chapter 1 and verse 11. And so the way in which biblical Zion is going to be born is through a rejection by the governors of Judah, Zechariah chapter 12, verses 5 and 6, who are the leaders of the people in the land of Israel in the end of days, who do not accept and oppose that the mountains of Israel, the land of Israel and Jerusalem being divided, that rather than to accept what the nations are wanting to impose upon the nation of Israel, they will reject it and call upon the God of Israel to honor his covenant made with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So they will declare an independent state in Judea and Samaria with Jerusalem as its capital to parallel the rejection of the nations believing that the solution to bring peace in the area is a Palestinian state and the dividing of Jerusalem. Then the third sign is following the defeat of Gog and Magog, that it says in Ezekiel 39 verse 25, now will I bring again the captivity of Jacob and have mercy on the whole house of Israel. So there's a declared end of the exile with the defeat of Gog and Magog. And so the way in which the Messiah is going to bring his people back from the nations of the world where he'd been scattered is by the cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night, which is the glory of the Lord. And so Yeshua did bring his people out of Egypt, and he led them in the wilderness on their way to the promised land in the form of the cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night. And so Yeshua will redeem his people from the nations of the world they've been scattered and bring them back to the land of Israel. And he's going to do this during the 3.5 years prior to when he sets his feet down on the Mount of Olives, commonly called the Great Tribulation. And the beginning of the journey is at the Passover that starts the Great Tribulation. And so he's going to be delivering his people from where they're at in the nations. And in Ezekiel, in chapter 20, his people being exiled into the nations of the world, the nations of the world is called the wilderness of the peoples. In Ezekiel chapter 20 and verses 34 and 35, it says, I will bring you out from the people and gather you out of the countries where you've been scattered with a mighty hand and with a stretched out arm and with fury poured out. And I will bring you into the wilderness of the peoples, and there I will plead with you face to face. Like I pleaded with your fathers in the wilderness in the land of Egypt, so will I plead with you. So where did he plead with them? In the wilderness. How? Through the form of the cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night. So he is going to do it like he did do it. So he's going to bring his people into the wilderness of the peoples.
Well, that's going to conclude part 21 of the series on the subject, the principles of the greater Exodus. Shalom in Yeshua the Messiah. Amen.
Thank you, Eddie. This is Stephen Morgan, and all of us here at Hebraic Heritage Ministries pray that you have enjoyed today's teaching. If you've been blessed, will you help us to share this message with others? Hebraic Heritage Ministries is supported by your generous financial gifts. In order to help you in your studies and to help us share this message with others, we are offering today the DVD, Yeshua the Lawgiver, for free for a love gift of any amount to the ministry. Hebraic Heritage Ministries also offers a monthly discipleship program. If you are interested in starting a fellowship group in your area, let us know. We would like to help you. Please contact us for more details. Our website is hebroots.org. That's HEBROOTS.org. We would like to hear from you. Please send us an email. Finally, in order to take advantage of today's free offer, please mention this product offer and please mail your love gift to Hebraic Heritage Ministries, P.O. Box 81, Strasburg, that's Strasburg, Ohio, 44680. Until next time, may Yeshua richly bless you.